The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe, pitcher, become a catcher. I mean, you're wearing a hat. Be careful.
Yeah, I'm...
You clean
I'm dumping
up.
My client. My client is no longer my client. You're on
Chewy,
your own, pal.
None of us know what you're saying.
Think about it, Gabe.
None of us know
pitchers
what you're saying.
Pitchers become catchers.
You can't keep saying the same thing over and over
what
again.
What is it? How does a catcher wear his hat?
Oh, backwards?
Thank you. Welcome to the show. They would say that every time we go into a class at BC taking a test. Pitchers become catchers.
Who's they?
Because
they thought you had answers written on the
thing.
I thought I was.
Now live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at Radio City with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
She wants to ride, she's trying to hide it. I'm cool as ever, she's too excited. Her man look like he wanna fight. He ain't doing nothing but running his mouth. Talk about it, we all about it. They make it plans.
Y'all watching some Padres highlights up there, are you?
What happened to you guys? You were major toads last year and
yeah,
now
so
you got nothing?
Our guy is Tatis, and he hasn't made his
so
debut
you're not
yet.
Wearing the hats till he comes back?
What? Why not Juan Soto?
I love Juan Soto.
We're happy about it, but the day that Tatis comes back, you're going to not want to be around Gabe.
Ooh, what's happening here with the bases loaded in the top of the ninth and our guy Josh Hader on the mound?
Yeah. Former our guy.
Things did not work out well for Hader last night.
That's a shame. Do you think Brewers fans are watching these highlights with a little shart and farter this morning?
Not a chance.
No?
I always said it was a good trade.
What?
No, wait, Brewers fans just...
Wait, did he just
I
want
said
himself?
It was a good trade.
He wanted himself.
He did.
I what?
Exactly.
Not to be confused with wedded yourself, which I'm sure happened some of those times with the ayahuasca. No, you wanted
ayahuasca.
Yourself. You said... I know, but we're calling it ayahuasca now.
I know, but I think it's fun if I correct every time.
I just want to make sure that
I know what's happening.
No, you said, I said it was a good trade always, and then you said what at the end of it? It was almost like the two parts of your brain were conflicted.
They're fighting each other like inside.
He has two parts of his brain?
He only uses...
How many parts are the brain? There's the...
Oh, this is going to be great.
All right.
Hold on. Let me hit the music. All right, well, I do research. All right, go for it, Chew.
The pyramidal tracks... There's upper and lower
Manhattan.
Yeah. No, that's in the knee. The pyramidal tracks.
The brain, Chewy.
Yes.
The pyramidal tracks connect Boston and New York, so I'm glad we're staying in the same neighborhood.
It has the three main parts: the cerebrum, the cerebellum, and the brainstem.
Okay. You were about to get there though.
I have at least two of the three.
You had nothing.
Would be shocked if you had zero of the three. Zero in the math.
Well, you got to have one in order to talk. So.
Oh, you just need vocal cords.
Oh, okay. I'm good. I got those. My name is Luca.
Nope. Calm down, Aiden Hutchinson. Are you going to be rooting for the Packers this weekend, Chew? Are you going to be rooting for them in Friday night when they take on the Niners?
I always do.
And you're going to be watching the offensive line, as we've discussed here on the show. We do have people weighing in on the old National Bank talk and text line. Chef Ed saying, unfortunately, I think Bakhtiari is done. Even if he plays, there's not enough strength in that leg to keep it from having another injury. That is a very, very dark.
Well, three surgeries... In 2 years? On
so,
one?
Well, he had,
I'm not saying he's done.
He had the major surgery and then he had two cleanups.
Yeah, that's still a lot on the knee. I mean, Bakhtiari at 85% is still better than most left tackles. Yeah. So he'll be fine as long as he gets back on the field.
So part of the reason that we're talking about the offensive line, obviously, is because they are playing musical chairs at those positions. And obviously, you know how the offensive line then affects the timing and the rhythm and the ability of the rest of the offense. But Aaron Rodgers yesterday in front of his locker was also talking about the wide receivers. And it surprises me a little, guys, the players that he continues to promote. Take a listen.
We need to have a lot of patience, and the expectations need to be reasonable. But I will say, between 88 and 87, there's been a lot of positive things that makes you feel good about the depth we could have in that room.
What is happening here, Gabe? Is he just trying to manifest these guys into being the leaders of that group? Is he manifesting them into being the go-to guys? Because when we have talked about the depth chart for wide receivers, we have never said that Jawan Winfrey and it's Romeo Doubs, yep, who we like, have been the go-to guys. Is he trying to say that they are, or is
no,
this a
he's
little
not saying
Aaron
they're the
Rodgers
go-to guys. No, he's talking about the depth. And so if those guys can continue on the trajectory they're on, that the depth of that room is not going to be
terrible. He's not
terrible.
Saying they're starting.
No.
They're not starting.
No, and here's the thing. I don't think Jawan Winfrey's making the team.
Practice squad?
Wait. You're trying to tell me that Aaron Rodgers is out here promoting, I almost said stooping, but we learned that that is not the right word, a guy that isn't going to be on the roster? That doesn't seem Aaron Rodgers-esque.
Because it hasn't happened before?
I thought they were on the same page. They're in the trust tree. Things are good now. I can't imagine. I mean, right? Isn't he more in lockstep with what the front office is doing? He's not going to go out there and be, I mean, he doesn't want to look like an idiot. He's not going to go out there and be like, oh,
no.
This guy's
so
been doing great and then risk him not being
to,
on the team.
He has to talk them up. He has to. Because if he doesn't talk them up, then us and Mothership ESPN is like, told you, Rodgers isn't even buying into his receivers. He has to talk them up. The problem right now is they're doing pre-algebra. It's pre-algebra right now. When you get to Minnesota, calculus. So you go from pre-algebra to calculus.
What's up with you in math today? Why do you keep bringing up math?
Because I want you guys to give me credit for
But then
my
you speak.
I want good.
Joshy Friday, yeah?
That was, yeah.
We should start pubbing that up. I can't wait. You're going down.
That's a good one. That's a good one, huh?
The other thing I've seen really people talking about is that potentially Sammy Watkins might not be on the roster, that he hasn't had as much of a wow training camp as you expected him to have. Is there any concern that Sammy Watkins could be on the cutting room floor, especially the way that his deal is constructed, Gabe?
I would be surprised if they let Sammy Watkins go, because he still gets talked about as being somebody that's going to be a contributor to this team. Yes, and the Packers can get out of the deal the way that they've structured it.
It's
an easy out, but I don't know. I guess somebody would really have to outperform him. Like Jawan Winfrey would actually have to be as good as Aaron Rodgers thinks he might be.
Is there a chance that he is? We're hearing little bits and snippets, and Rodgers, again, we try to like parse the words of Aaron Rodgers. We're trying to like read between the lines. We were talking earlier about how he has called out guys. We also talked about how he has mentioned certain guys on the offensive line, and what does that mean? Is he trying to motivate them? Is he trying to throw them a bone a little bit? There's a lot of that like leadership stuff that goes into what Rodgers does when he steps in front of the microphone. So what is he doing here when he's talking about 88 and 87? Is he trying to say to the front office, don't even think about cutting Jawan Winfrey? He has been a guy who is giving me confidence. I'm growing and we're developing this wide receiver room, and he's a big reason why. Or is it he's trying to get Jawan Winfrey to believe in himself? Like, Chewy, what do you think is happening here behind the scenes? Why Rodgers is specifically talking about these two receivers?
He's being guarded. I mean, I see the only way Sammy Watkins, they get rid of him, is if he pulls a hamstring, say, in this game coming up. He's not going to be there.
Because if he doesn't play, I think his roster spot is safe.
I think he has to play.
Does he have to play? He's played in this offense before.
Yeah, I think he's got to play.
I don't think him. I don't think Alan Lazard are going to play. I don't think Randall Cobb's going to play. Rodgers ain't playing. Jones, Dillon, I don't think they're going to play.
I don't know.
I mean, yeah, maybe Dillon for a little bit, but I don't think any of those guys
need to play. Could you see Watkins playing a little bit, pulling his hamstring, missing the rest of camp, and them saying, you know what, let's move on with the younger guys?
I think Sammy has to play. I think you got to see him out there in live game action. And I know, Gabe, you're going to say it's not really live game action anyway, but it's as close as you're going to get.
But
in the
preseason. Why do you need to see him out there?
Because you have to decide if you're going to run with him through the season.
But if
he's got this injury history, man, like
yeah,
I just think
so
you
why
need
put him out there.
Well, you don't want
to. I just don't think you can chew up a roster spot with a guy who's not going to be available. Like, you got to show something at this point.
I don't think he needs to. I think that they've got him locked in. He's going to be one of, I mean, yesterday Wilde said he's as close to a lock without being a lock on this roster.
But he did say there is
Because there's some wiggle room to get out of it, right? Yeah. So if somebody just if Romeo Doubs ends up being somebody who can be your number three receiver, maybe you think about, okay, we can kind of makeshift this and make it work without Sammy Watkins. I can't imagine
But everything I'm hearing about Juwan Winfrey is that he has been this steady and reliable force at practice, and with Rodgers calling him out yesterday and basically giving him kudos, throwing him that bone, it feels to me like he's protecting the guy. It feels to me like he would be surprised, he would be frustrated if the front office cut him.
Unless he's doing it to light a fire under Watkins' butt.
And that was the other thing I was wondering, too.
You know,
I wonder if he's sending a message by omission. The guys he's not mentioning is like, hey, you want to be mentioned by me when the media comes around. Start doing something to earn that. Let's hear from Rodgers, who was talking about the young receivers and how this whole thing is a process yesterday.
We need to see consistency from those guys. And there's a lot of different aspects to earning the trust of the quarterback, whether I'm playing or Jordan's playing in the preseason here. You want to see the guys doing the right stuff, and it's little things. It's the stem on the routes. It's what they do at the top of the route. It's a scramble drill. It's the adjustments. It's being alert for the signals. There's a lot of stuff that goes
into
it.
That's why they're not playing a rookie.
We're going to be hard on them and coach them hard. And if you're talking to if I'm talking to a guy, that's a good thing. If I'm getting on a guy, it's a good thing. If I'm not talking to you, that's not the best. You want me to be critiquing and coaching you up and letting you, giving you some good feedback, and I've been trying to with as many guys as I feel like.
That's a message.
Have an opportunity to be a part of this squad.
That's a message to somebody, right, guys? That's a message to somebody to be like, hey, in case you haven't picked up on the code, in case you haven't picked up what I'm putting down, if I'm not talking to you, things are not looking good. He's sending that message to somebody. I don't know if it's Sammy Watkins, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was.
He's talking about young guys. So I think that's like more Amari Rodgers. It's more back end of the roster guys. He in both of those clips, he's specifically talking about younger wide receivers. That doesn't fit what Sammy Watkins, Alan Lazard are. They're not younger receivers at this point.
And they really have nothing after it. I mean, who are you going to start at Z for the first game if you get rid of Watkins? Randall Cobb?
Are you looking at the depth chart right now?
Yeah, I'm just like that. I remember rookies. You just have no confidence in rookies. You can in camp. They make nice plays. Ooh, nice catch. But when it's for real, I'm telling you, it's pre-algebra right now, and then it goes to calculus, you know?
When does it hit algebra? Because at some point, you got to be doing algebra before you do calculus.
I'm just saying there is a huge jump from the preseason to the regular season. And nothing drives coaches more crazy and the quarterback than mental errors. And you just have not seen enough. I mean, we're going to see nothing against the 49ers. They're going to play three coverages. That's what they're going to do.
Yep.
When you get to the regular season, they're playing 13, 14 coverages. And you have to be able to recognize all of them. Like that! Rookies just can't do it. You know? You can put them in for 10 to 12 plays, and they could probably do it then, but 70 plays? I'm not trotting out any of these young guys. Just not doing it.
Well, and then the next layer to it, of course, and Rodgers addressed this yesterday as well, was the special teams and how guys have to contribute on teams in order to also make an impact on the squad, right? He was saying that some of these guys on the back end of the wide receiver core are going to have to play for Rich Bisaccia and are going to have to be contributors there. So I guess my question to you is, so Amari Rodgers? Are we going to see Romeo Doubs? And is Sammy Watkins a contender for that? Could he prove his value, prove his worth on teams, Gabe?
No, I mean, he's not. Sammy Watkins is not anywhere near special teams.
With Amari Rodgers? Rodgers doesn't really mention him at all.
That's the one I'm keeping an eye on.
The only thing I hear is if he fair catches another punt, Bisaccia is going to lose his mind. Could he be out the door?
It's possible. I would say that is certainly... I would say that's certainly a in the realm of possibility. He's got to be, because yesterday we talked to Wilde about if they only keep six, right? So Lazard, Watkins, Watson, Cobb, Doubs. So that leaves one spot for Rodgers, Winfrey, Malik Taylor, Samari Torrey, and Danny Davis. If they keep six.
If they keep seven, you cannot keep four tight ends.
Who's the most likely to be cut of those three? Of Sammy Watkins, of Amari Rodgers, and who is the third one we were talking about earlier?
Juwan Winfrey.
Really? You're putting Juwan over Amari?
Juwan Winfrey, yeah, absolutely.
I don't know.
GMs, Chewy, you've said this 1,000 times. GMs don't want to give up on their guy.
Sure.
And Rodgers was a draft pick. Winfrey was not. He was just a undrafted free agent, makes his way to Green Bay. So all, you know, Rodgers has the benefit of the doubt to me over Winfrey because he was a third round pick a year ago. Third round pick.
Yeah, it's a little. But if you know, you know. It's kind of the Brett Conway thing.
Make mistakes fast, right? Like.
If you don't see him growing, then recover. It's like you might as well, what is it, fish or cut bait or cut the bait of the fish or whatever the hell the saying is. I mean, they could probably keep
you're
seven.
The fisherman of the group.
Hold on. I'm going to tie this all in.
Oh. No, you're not.
You're right. We need a break.
That was your bow? That was it?
That was
no, I was going to say, they can keep present. Seven. They can keep seven if they put Tonyan on the PUP, because they normally or sometimes keep four tight ends, but as soon as Tonyan comes off of PUP, one of those receivers has to go.
Yeah, 100% right. Make plans to attend an exciting family-friendly baseball experience in Lake Country this month with the Lake Country Dockhounds. I'm going tonight. Excited to check out the Lake Country Dockhounds at their new Wisconsin Brewing Company Park in Oconomowoc. It's right off the interstate, super easy to get to, and, as I mentioned, family-friendly, because tickets start at just $8. You can get your family there, and it's not going to cost you an arm and a leg. And they've got home games featuring some memorable promotions and theme nights. For example, the Dockhounds are welcoming the Hall of Famer, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair, to Saturday, August 20th.
Woo!
Get your tickets now to see the Nature Boy. Go to Dockhounds.com. It's that easy. You just go to Dockhounds.com. Lake Unleashing Baseball in Lake Country is your Lake Country Dockhounds. Visit Dockhounds.com.
It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Gabe is already eating his feelings.
What are you talking about? I'm fine. What do you mean, Buck Lock? This doesn't bother me.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Things to respond to this morning on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. Who's more likely to be cut by the Packers before week one? Jawan Winfrey, who Aaron Rodgers again yesterday gave props to, mentioned by number, or Sammy Watkins, who again the team kind of took a flyer on, has a deal that is malleable, right? They could kind of go, it's not working out, right? And not have to really be on the hook for anything. Jawan Winfrey or Sammy Watkins, let us know. That's on our Jen, Gabe, and Chewy Twitter account. We got to get to the trash.
We've all got stuff that we can't keep inside anymore.
Trash! Trash! Not for you!
Stuff that we need to talk about.
How could you not realize? You're stupid. You are a stupid, stupid man.
Stuff that once a week just needs to be put outside.
Now that's clearly garbage.
Hey, man, we just get warmed up.
It's time to take out the trash. Brought to you by LRS, Milwaukee and Southern Wisconsin's leader in home business and dumpster waste and recycling services. Call the LRS experts at 844-WI-TRASH today.
Okay, trash. My trash today is Kevin Durant and these prima donna athletes. We all are familiar with this. We dealt with it last year with number 12, but Durant takes it to I just don't like this guy. He takes it to another level. He gave the Nets an ultimatum. Fire Nash and the general manager, Sean Marks, or he wants out. I have no problem with players saying they want out for whatever reason. But it drives me nuts when it's an us or them. You know? Steve Nash is a good coach. Marks put a nice roster together. It just didn't work out. They were, a toenail away from going to the finals a couple years ago when the Bucks won it. And so things kind of blew up in their face right now. It drives me nuts. And this, what he's doing really drives me nuts. I just shut up and play basketball. If you want to trade, ask for a trade. But this us, me or them,
it's the ultimatum
type attitude,
that bothers you?
It's
the ultimatum?
Taking it to this extent, you know? Give me a break.
Wasn't he okay with Nash in the first place?
Of course he was.
Sure was, yeah.
Didn't he push for that?
Yep, sure did.
He just, shut up, Kevin Durant.
Shouldn't he be fired as the general manager?
Play 5 or 6 more years and exit stage left, and we never have to hear from you again. What do you got, Gabe?
LIV Golf is making me work so much harder. than I want to work. I have to now read up on antitrust law. They had their first, I guess, first leg of the race. It's going to be a long one as the Mickelson versus the PGA Tour lawsuit began yesterday. A temporary restraining order was sought by a handful of players as they wanted to try to be able to double dip, get their money from LIV, and try to capitalize and get some FedEx Cup playoff money over the next 3 weeks from the PGA Tour. Ultimately, a federal judge in U.S. District Court judge, I should say, in Northern California said, nope, we're not going to allow you to do that because you signed big-time contracts where those losses were factored into the contract that you signed. Now, this is going to be fun at some points because there's going to be a discovery period, and it seems that there are really big idiots on both sides of this thing, so we're going to have fun making fun of the PGA Tour, making fun of LIV Golf. But again, what we're going to end up with, if you are a fan of golf, is a splintered golf world where the only thing that matters are the four majors, and everything else just is going to seem like an exhibition, and you're not going to see the best players in the world playing together. In LIV, again, because of this lawsuit, they set a trial date for next August. It is a year away. This thing is going to be tied up and going on for so long unless there's some sort of agreement made. It's just a bad look for golf, which is already a fringe sport to begin with. And it's just going to continuously, this lawsuit and the action of LIV, push golf further and further into the background. Antitrust law. You know how complicated that bleep is?
No.
It's like calculus.
Is that what your aunt does the law?
His what?
Oh, no.
What?
Are auntie? You
I don't have an aunt.
Antitrust. Oh, my God.
Antitrust law. And he said aunt.
Like, why do you guys call them aunts? They're aunts.
I don't think we have time for this.
I'm just saying, though.
I know.
Because they're aunts.
They're aunts.
No, they're not. They're aunts.
The U is silent.
Is this a poll?
Yeah, it is a poll because the world started in Massachusetts, where they call them aunts.
It did not start in Massachusetts.
The world.
Plymouth Rock.
It's not Massachusetts.
Yeah, it is. I've been there. I was a jet ski instructor in Plymouth.
Hemisphere, too. Yeah, he's a whole other hemisphere.
Think he cares about that? Or is aware of that?
All right, let's open up the old family safe. Hinge is a little creaky this morning. Reach inside. It's pretty heavy. Got a little dust on it. Blow that off. And we're pulling out Old Reliable, Gabe. Old Reliable for Jen is the Left Lane Parkers. Listen, this feels relevant since I was in the car yesterday for 6+ hours driving back from Cincinnati. But I cannot stand the people who park their cars in the left lane on the freaking highway. You are not the arbiter of speed. You do not get to decide and dictate to everyone how fast we go on the freeway. You're not the hall monitor. You're not the governor on the proverbial golf cart. So move out of the way. I know what you're thinking. You're looking down at your speedometer as you see me coming up behind you with the high beams in your rearview mirror, and you're saying, I am going 80 miles an hour. This person just needs to relax. I don't care if you're going 102 miles an hour. If I want to go 104 miles an hour, you move over. And I feel the same for anybody who comes riding up my backside, okay? If somebody wants to go faster than me, I don't take it as an insult. I don't take it as a, I'm going very fast. I don't know what, why are they in such a hurry? You just move over. I don't understand the people who weren't taught this when they were taught driver's ed.
Ashton,
this is how it works. The
driver.
Left lane is the passing lane. If you are
fast.
Going a fast speed and somebody wants to go faster, you are automatically resigned to the right lane. You can move back into the left lane. That's fine. No one has an issue with you going back and forth. But parking in the left lane should be illegal. And I saw a meme the other day, guys, that said this. I thought I was a good person. But the way I react when people drive slowly in the left lane would suggest otherwise. That's how I feel. It infuriates me. I should be able to go as fast as I want to. Again, the police will get me, okay? Let the police slow me down. Let the police do their job.
Ashton.
You don't have to help them out, okay?
Ashton.
It gets me so angry,
you
guys.
Why am I here at this? Why is this me, Chewy?
Because.
You've never seen me drive? How do you think I got to Minnesota in under 5 hours?
That's my boy.
How many times do you use your blinker?
Every time. You're supposed to use your blinkers. Doesn't mean I can't go fast.
Look, I believe Ashton, as an Illinoisan, I believe he knows the rules about the left lane.
Yes, thank
you. It's when I'm driving
through.
You'd
be shocked at the number of Illinois people who don't.
Indiana.
It's way more Wisconsin people that don't.
I just drove down to Illinois
for
your food truck.
I drive back and forth all the time.
You went to Round Lake Beach. You were in Illinois for probably 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
And guess how many people were parked in the left lane, Jen? Weaving in and out on 94.
Or we could just say everyone.
Have you ever driven with Ashton?
What's that?
Have you ever driven with Ashton?
I've never been in the car he's been driving, no.
Do you come to complete stops?
At a stop sign?
Yeah.
Depends.
All right.
Wait, let me ask you guys, do I come to complete stops?
No, we already know, we already know the answer to that question.
The other day when we were on the phone, and Chewie's like, how about you not take the ramp at 60?
I know. It's true, though. Yeah.
So true. Good thing I have roll bars on the Tahoe.
How long do you sit behind someone before they get over, before you finally get frustrated and pass in the right lane?
I'd like to say 30 seconds, but probably more like 12. No, I mean, listen, I'll give people the benefit of the doubt. Look, sometimes you don't see the person, right? So I just, but if it's very obvious that they're doing it intentionally, right, that they're trying to make a point, like, that's not your job. Don't make a point on the highway. Now you're slowing up the flow of traffic. And then when two trucks decide to conspire together, and they sit there and go side by side, side by side, side by side for miles and miles of the freeway, that's next week on Take Out the Trash.
Stream live sports, get original content with ESPN Plus today. Plus, you can bundle that with the Disney Plus and watch Rise, the story of Giannis and his journey to the NBA. It's easy. You go to ESPNMilwaukeeBundle.com to learn more. With ESPN Plus, you get access to that award-winning 30 for 30 library. You get unrivaled UFC access and exclusive pay-per-view events. With Disney Plus, as I mentioned, you get Giannis, his story. With Rise, you get all that access to all those Disney movies, Marvel movies, Star Wars movies. You get that all with Disney Plus. You can bundle it with ESPN Plus today. Stream anytime, anywhere. It's easy. Go to ESPNMilwaukeeBundle.com to learn more.
From the latest happenings on the diamond.
Still getting on base a lot with walks. We have not seen the power as much as we have, but he's having really good at bat.
To all the insight and expertise on things outside the ballpark.
I mean, yeah, a charcuterie board is just like, you know, peak bougie. Let's just be honest, right? Like, if you really think about the concepts, like, you're just throwing some meat and cheese on a plate.
We only turn to one person. Batter up. It's Sophia Minert on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Brought to you by Ewald Automotive. Shop the Ewald Automotive Group's exclusive best used car selection of over 600 of your favorite cars, trucks, and SUVs. Visit any of their 8 locations or shop online at ewaldauto.com. Ewald Automotive, where we make it easy.
Great to be joined by our friend and pal, Sophia Minert, to talk a little Brew Crew. Brewers in the win column last night. And Sophia, nice to see Freddy Peralta back out there, right? I mean, it seems like everything is working out for him, and obviously he contributes to that rotation. What are we thinking of his last couple of outings?
Yeah, I think overall it's all been very positive. You know, I think last night was great for him. He was able to get through 5 innings, 65 pitches, which was just a couple shy of what he was able to do on Wednesday. But he was actually, you know, because he was so efficient, he was actually able to cover more innings. And he didn't have any walks, which is a really good sign for Freddie always. Sometimes he can pitch around the edge of the zone, and walks have been an issue for him at times. So I think, you know, every time he's out there, he's going to get better. He's going to feel stronger. You know, by all accounts, he's recovering really well. So yeah, I think everything we've seen from Freddie is a positive and really encouraging for what he can do as he gets, you know, deeper into games and gets stronger, you know, the more he's out there.
Sophia, we are watching the highlights of the Padres game last night, and Hader got a little roughed up. You think Brewers fans, they don't want to see him fail, but they like to see him get roughed up a little bit to justify this trade a little more?
I mean, I hope not. I don't think Josh deserves that. I think we should remember what he did in his years as a Brewer. But, yeah, I came home and I watched that game. It was, you know, they added on a couple runs, and then it was his first save opportunity. And, he struggled with his command. And it was it was a very unhater like inning. I was 37 pitches for him, wasn't able to get through the inning. Machado ended up walking off the game, so they got the win anyway. But yeah, it was definitely definitely unhater like to see that inning.
Has the dust settled with the trade? Are we past it? Are fans moving on, you think?
I think so. I mean, I think, look, this is what baseball does, is like, there is a game every day. So you are forced to move on. And that's no disrespect to anyone, but you know, the reality is every day you show up and there's a game to be played. And we talked about that with Craig yesterday. You know, it was a rough week last week. They did not play well. They had an off day on Monday, and he was asked if that off day can serve like, you know, kind of just a reboot. And that was his response, was like, well, every day is a reboot, no matter what happens the night before, good, bad, ugly. You show up and you've got to reboot it, right? Like, you've got to move on to the next thing. They've got a really challenging schedule in front of them. And, you know, Matt Bush got his first save as a Brewer last night. So the pieces, they keep moving, you know.
How often can we expect to see Keston Hiura in the lineup? He had the two home runs in the Cincinnati series over the weekend. Seems to have the adjustments that he has made pay off.
Yeah, I think with Keston, he has done a great job of just leaning into what his role is this year. You know, after struggling so much last year, it's been a little up and down for him this year between the Major League team and the AAA team. And he's really taken advantage of that time when he's with Nashville to like get the consistent at bats, work on the things he wants to work on. And then when he comes up here, he's in a good position to contribute, right? Like, no matter how sporadic the playing time may be. He did have a good weekend, as you said. I would think he would be in the lineup today. The Rays have a lefty starter on the mound today. So I think today could be a great opportunity for him to be at first or maybe even DH. Keston's done a great job of just kind of being where his feet are, of just like, okay, this is my role. I'm going to prepare every day, make sure I'm ready to go. And I think he's really contributed some really nice at-bats.
Sophia Minert joining Jen, Gabe, and Chewy as she does every week during the baseball season. Okay, Sophia, so I had to drive last night 6 hours back from Cincinnati to my home north of Milwaukee. And at one point in the ride, this song, which now has become famous from Edwin Diaz, got me through the ride. Okay, take a listen.
Hola! I like this song.
Olé. Sophia, you have been to a million ballparks. What songs have you heard that give that like electric vibe? Obviously, a lot of times it's associated with a closer. Hell's Bells for Trevor Hoffman or Enter Sandman for Mariano Rivera. But is there a moment that you remember from a different ballpark where you're like, this was incredible? Because I can't even imagine being at Citi Field when they start playing that trumpet song and Diaz leaves the bullpen. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. It is actually really cool. I think he got one or two saves that series when we were in New York. And my friend, who's a Mets fan, had told me, he was like, you're going to be really blown away by the closer entrance. And I, you know, Jen, you know, I was kind of like, okay, I'll believe it when I see it. And it actually is really cool. I mean, all the fans, they're standing up, they're clapping along with the music. It is really cool. The only other thing that I can think of that was similar and not a closer, but forgive me, I'm going to give the Cubs a little credit here. But when Anthony Rizzo would come up for his first at bat when he was with the Cubs, and it was like a song that, you know, I think he had it for years. And I'm totally blanking on the name of the song right now. But everyone would clap along with the song. And it was just really cool. It was a cool way to start the game. You know, he was obviously one of the first hitters up in the lineup. And it just, I think anytime you have something like that where an entire stadium full of people is committed to it, it's really cool. And actually on Instagram, I think it was the Talking Baseball account, they had an amazing video of Diaz at Citi Field coming in. And they actually followed him, like, they have a final pitch warm-up in the bullpen, followed him out the gate, onto the field, to the mound, and you really got that perspective of what it was like for him, and it was really cool. It was really well done. if you can find that on Twitter.
So, Sophia, we have Milwaukee Pretzel Company sponsors one of our segments tomorrow, and I came up with a brilliant idea. I said, why can't they put chili inside of the pretzel? And I told Ashton, why don't you trademark it? I really think we're into something. Would you be into a chili pretzel with the chili inside of the pretzel? Because I think Ashton blew it.
Just revisionist history.
Oh, my.
That's not at all how it went down, Sophia. We just need to make sure.
No, it did. Put in a sliver.
That's not all how this all went down.
Not even close.
Yes, it is.
I was the first one.
It was my idea.
It wasn't. You're an idiot. It wasn't
you
your
are
idea.
A liar.
Sophia, you can answer now. I'm sorry that we lied to your face again.
To me, it sounds very messy. And I don't know, I mean, how, you know, a chili stuffed pretzel, it just sounds like a disaster.
All right, Sophia,
frankly,
hear me out.
Eat it.
The chili is inside the pretzel, okay? So the soft pretzel is around the chili. So when you bite into it, and listen, I'm thinking dip it in the nacho cheese sauce, okay? But you got the chili inside the pretzel, then you have the hot, soft, warm pretzel around it. Like, to me, it's appetizing. To me, it's like we've uncovered something. We've stumbled upon something here, you know, with Chewy's brilliance and all.
Such garbage.
I feel like you guys should go test market this at, like, the state fair. Because I feel like that's the appropriate kind of test market.
It is deep fried, isn't it?
No.
You don't even know how your own
right,
stupid...
You need to,
you
need
so
to turn off your microphone,
you don't even
pal.
Know your own stupid pretzel.
Well, then how do you cook it, Ashton?
No, do you know how pretzels are baked?
No.
They're baked.
Oh. Sorry. Maybe it wasn't my idea.
That's all
at least he's
all
coming around.
That's all it took.
Sophia, let's say you have a friend. And that friend has their car stolen.
Oh, no.
And then they get their car back. And, you know, okay, they got it stolen once. Then they get it stolen a second time. You're like, okay, you should probably get a new car. They go through the process of getting a new car, but don't actually ever pull the trigger on a new car. So they get their car stolen for a third time. What would you tell this friend?
Where are you parking your car?
Anywhere.
And are you locking your car?
Yes.
And
it's a, so you're familiar with the type
of
cars.
Do you have any, like, a lock? Like steering wheel lock?
Well,
or?
This friend, it may or may not be me, and this may or not have happened for a third time to me this week. This friend has a club for their car, but this friend was parked in a fourth-story parking structure downtown. They was locked. The gate was locked, and I did not use the club for my car on this time.
Oh, no.
I mean, well, you're this friend, not me.
I am very sorry for your friend that happened to you. That sucks. A horrible inconvenience. I don't know. That's horrible. That's just really horrible luck.
Yeah, but like this friend needs to actually just replace this car
probably.
At this point, right? Like, I mean, this friend went through the entire.
Might be cursed.
Yeah, this friend went through the entire process and then just ultimately did not pull the trigger on a vehicle. Because he couldn't find one with sport mode.
Well, exactly. This friend really likes the sport mode that they have on their vehicle. It's a fun little feature.
Yeah, the silence says it all.
That's because Sophia is such a nice person. She's so nice that, like, there's nothing she can say, so she just prefers the silence. You see that, Ashy? She's like, better for me to say nothing than
really
to say what I'm thinking.
Yeah, the silence is deafening, I would
say.
Yes,
yes.
Sophia, we appreciate you. Have a great day at the ballpark, and we'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Have a great day.
See, that's how you know that you're making bad decisions. When Sophia's like, I don't even feel comfortable criticizing you for what is clearly a lack of judgment.
I appreciate you guys trying to get her to criticize me. I was kind of hoping for it. Be like, all right, finally someone can get through to me. It's Sophia being like, you're an idiot. I would have been like, all right, there's a good point being said.
I didn't
here.
Know that she had that kind of influence over you.
Well,
that's really good to know.
Many
I'm going
people
to
do.
Absolutely abuse that.
No, many people do.
She didn't really like your pretzel idea, though.
You explained it so terribly, though. That's the problem. I didn't even get a chance to explain it.
You're an idiot.
Well, I know.
Your pretzel idea.
I'm not coming in tomorrow. Screw you guys.
It doesn't matter what age you are. Low testosterone can be an issue with any guy. I have met with Kevin. He's the founder, CEO of Mantality. And the reason why he started Mantality is because he was going through something a few years ago. Just was tired, groggy, could not get through his day, didn't have that energy. Turns out it was low testosterone. Couldn't get the answers he wanted from his doctor, so he created Mantality. And now you can get your own custom testosterone treatments if your testosterone is low. Well, how do you know if it's low? If you have some of those symptoms, tired, groggy, just can't get through your day, you don't feel like yourself, that could be low testosterone. Mantality can help. You go in, you get a blood panel, they find out if your testosterone levels are low, and if they are, they give you that custom solution that you need. Check out LowTUSA.com. Mantality allows treatment to fit into every guy's lifestyle. Learn more about Mantality and their low testosterone treatments at LowTUSA.com.
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
What about FDR?
His
he
name
was a president.
Fred? Was he really?
His name was Franklin.
That's not Fred.
That's not
what,
Fred.
What the hell game are you playing?
About?
Oh, yeah.
What are you doing?
On 94.5 ESPN.
Here we go. So put your best face on. Everybody pretend you know this song. Everybody come hang. Let's go out.
Lots of stuff to react to this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We'll get to that in just a moment. But did I read here, Ashton, that it is National Lazy Day and it is National S'mores Day? I feel like you could combine the two and have a Lazy S'mores Day. Like, you know, set up a campfire and be lazy out at the campfire as you toast your marshmallow. And you're out on s'mores, though, huh, Chew?
I love making them, but they're garbage.
Why make
that? That's just not
well, because
good.
He doesn't like sugar. He doesn't like anything that's
no,
sugar.
No, but, is there
yeah, but just the
else?
Chocolate never melts with the marshmallow.
It does if you do it right.
Put the chocolate in the marshmallow, like your chili
now,
pretzel
that
idea.
Is
they
a
make
real
those,
good idea.
And I think that's cheating. But they make those.
No. What do you mean cheat? I'm not talking about like using somebody else doing it. I'm saying you roast the marshmallow, then you take the little square of the Hershey's chocolate and you stick it inside the roasted marshmallow, and then the chocolate melts.
Is there something better than the graham cracker?
No.
Well, graham crackers are just kind of there.
Oh, well, like what about an Oreo?
Ooh,
I've done it with. I've seen people do peanut
Oreo's
butter cups.
Too small. An Oreo's too small.
Yeah, but they can make a big one.
Yeah, but they don't.
Life's problems.
I mean, would you just eat a graham cracker? Just
no.
Ooh, I really want
day.
A graham cracker.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
I mean,
snack.
I haven't in a very long time.
I did
right.
the other day.
That was definitely a snack when I was.
But
a
they're
kid.
Not bad. They're not good. They're just kind of there.
Is there anything else that's like that, though, that you enjoy making, but you don't enjoy eating?
What if you had Cheez-Its?
Like an omelet.
No, listen to me, Gabe. You got the salty and you got the sweet. I think it'd be pretty good.
That would be more of a pretzel. The cheese with the chocolate and the marshmallow just aren't going to work
on.
Well.
I did have something recently at a bonfire that I do need to share, and it was called a marsh pep or marsh pup. I don't know what the hell it was called. It was two pieces of big pepperoni with a roasted marshmallow in between.
Now, that sounds
and
disgusting.
And I'm telling you, when I tell you it was delicious and I had very low expectations, I'm telling you, it was delicious.
So the pepperoni's cold?
No, the pepperoni. So you put on the stick, you put pepperoni,
oh, you put it
marshmallow,
all on the stick.
Pepperoni. Gabe?
Wait,
you
are we talking about the flat kind of pepperoni that goes on a pizza?
Sure am. Yeah, but like the bigger slices.
Not
yeah.
like a sausage that you would get at
no,
the grocery
no.
store
like
and
was
pack
good?
Up for a party with
it
some
was
cheese
really
blocks.
Really good.
How do you put pepperoni on a stick like that?
If you just stab it.
And then where's the marshmallow?
In between.
No, I'm not. I'm having a tough time logistically also.
So
you
have the
pepperoni?
Stick.
No, it's
no,
a
you
circle.
Have the stick.
Oh, and you
put the pepperoni.
Like a kebab.
Uh-huh.
Then you put the marshmallow. Then you put the pepperoni.
Yeah.
And the
is
pepperoni's
it worth
not
trying?
Floppy?
No,
it's not
floppy
pepperoni?
I'm telling you guys, you got to try it.
Because who likes a floppy pepperoni? I mean, you knew it was coming. I don't know like why you're
some people
here.
Don't even like pepperoni.
Anyways, I'm speaking to Jess Gabe right now because I think he would at least try it. You guys
I'm going
to
try it.
You will?
No, I'm not.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, just saying, like, you guys are the
sounded
worst.
Sounded good.
I got really excited. I was like, really? I'll bring it to the...
I don't know about that.
Try
I'm like
it.
Trying to like picture it in my mouth and I can't. No, I'm serious. I can't.
Here we go.
Well, show's over, folks.
Mutabene.
That's it. We had a good run.
Just so you know, I just almost peed myself.
It's almost as good as yesterday, me talking about me being in the bathroom by the Strokes.
Let's go ahead and play that closing song for the next 3 minutes, Ashy.
Do you have to put the whole thing in your mouth because it's kind of floppy?
Yeah, I did. When I ate it, I made the whole thing in my mouth, and the marshmallow just kind of went everywhere.
I'm telling you, I don't think this is any good. This is no good to me.
It's really good. You got to try it. I had less than zero expectations.
Here's the other thing. Are we buying pepperoni just for the pepperoni marshmallow thing? The pepmello, the mellow pop?
Maybe you make like a pepperoni sandwich or something. I don't know. I don't know what you're doing. You're not buying the little disc. You're buying like the bigger like sandwich meat pepperonis.
Mm, no.
I might.
Okay.
You're not going.
I mean, you're going to try it. If you're going to bring in crickets for everyone to try, you'll try the thing that Ashton wants you to try.
Yeah, I probably will try it. Because I was just thinking, honestly, like when I was younger and I went to a gathering, a party or whatever, somebody had on a little tray salami with cream cheese in the middle and a sweet pickle in it. And I was that sounds disgusting. No, my point is, sounds disgusting. Like when you say it out loud, it's like, I would never put those flavors together. But then you try it, and it was delightful. It was fantastic, to the point where I was like, I will make this at home, and I have. So that is the part of my brain that is speaking to me right now saying, don't knock it until you try it. Like I'm not able to like wrap my brain around it, but maybe Ashy's right.
Again, it's two things I would never, ever put together.
Salty, sweet.
Are you going to try it?
A little spicy.
Yeah, I'll try it.
It'll knock your socks off.
The man's got a food truck. I'll try anything he makes.
Okay. Thank you. Now, I will say, it does help that you want to be a little inebriated when you try it the first time, maybe. I've had it when not inebriated, and it was still good.
Okay, so let me ask you a question. Is this something that you would consider selling out of the food truck?
Absolutely not.
Why?
That's an extra expense that's super not worth it.
Corner the market on the pepperoni marshmallow thing.
The problem with the marshmallow, to cook the more perfect marshmallow, it takes a little bit of time. And
open flame. I think you have to have open flame.
Well, I have open flame on the truck, but the thing about the perfect marshmallow is you don't necessarily want what I would call the perfect marshmallow with this. You want a softer marshmallow. The perfect marshmallow is black. That's the perfect marshmallow.
Oh, really?
And crunchy.
Just so you know, I can't take any of his food suggestions ever again.
Don't knock until you try it.
Man, Ashton, I try to defend you, man, but your food takes just continuously.
Did you eat the rot dog?
Are terrible.
Did you eat the rot dog?
The rot dog was delicious.
I'll tell you,
we give you the benefit of the doubt, and then you just
you're going to give me credibility.
Okay, it's not like Chewy doing math. We don't have to equate it to that. This is not when he opens his mouth.
How about you keeping the car, you moron?
That's a good point, too.
Okay.
Why are we so mean to each other right now?
Because we're both dumb.
Well, because we know this is our last show after what Jen said, so we're getting all the complaints about each other off our chest.
Speaking of, how many times did Gabe play the role of lawyer this morning? Do we need to add an Esquire to your name now?
I would take it.
Jen, Gabe, Esquire, and Chewy going forward? Could make a little extra coin here as our representation because, you know,
he might need a drop.
We need it.
Well, I mean, I'm doing all of Chewy's paperwork to be with the company to begin with. So.
Thank you.
Gabe, can you sign me up for this meeting? Thanks. This has been Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Wildy and Tosh is next on ESPN Wisconsin. Thanks for listening, Gabe. I'm fairly confident that we will be back tomorrow. At least you guys.
Not.
For sure, you guys.